Ramayana, Balakanda. Once, in a time long ago, there lived a great sage named Valmiki, who was never so happy as when he was discussing the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One day, while Valmiki was explaining the nectar of spiritual life to a group of disciples, the great sage Sri Narada Muni appeared at Valmiki's hermitage. Narada Muni travels continuously throughout the spiritual and material worlds, glorifying the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Upon seeing Narada, Valmiki and his disciples immediately offered respectful obeisances. Then, according to custom, they offered Narada an elevated sitting place, washing his feet while sweetly inquiring about his welfare. After this, Valmiki inquired from Narada, "O best of all knowers of the truth, please tell me who, present now on earth, is the reservoir of all opulences in full? Who is the most accomplished, learned, powerful, noble-minded, truthful, and grateful? Who possesses flawless character and remains engaged in looking after the general welfare of all living entities? Who is there present that is without an equal, clever, and who is the most beautiful, and is never subject to the influence of anger or malice, and yet instills fear within the hearts of even the greatest demigods when enraged? Who has the prowess to give protection to everyone within these three worlds? To whom has the goddess of fortune bestowed all blessings? O great sage, please answer my inquiries fully." The great sage Narada, who is able to know everything that happens within the three worlds, thus replied, "O Rishi, there is an illustrious king by the name Ram, who has appeared in the royal dynasty of Ikshvaku, and he is the son of Maharaj Dasharatha. He is the embodiment of all transcendental qualities, and he is the possessor of all opulences. Ram perfectly controls his senses and is the master of unlimited potencies. Ram has mighty arms which extend down to his knees, and his throat is marked with three auspicious lines like those on a canticle. He has high, broad shoulders, a wide chest, a beautifully formed head, a graceful forehead, powerful jaws, and deeply embedded collarbones. His eyes are large, and he is majestically medium tall in stature. All of his limbs are well formed and symmetrical. His bodily complexion is greenish and has a great luster. His intelligence is unfathomable. His manner is grave, and his speech is superb in tone and eloquence. Lord Ram has a supremely pure character and is a follower of true religious principles. He is full in self-realization and is the upholder of Varnashram Dharma. Truly, Ram is the support of the entire universe, and he is simultaneously the destroyer of all foes and the only shelter for those who are fully surrendered. Lord Ram is the absolute knower of the Vedas. And furthermore, Lord Ram is fully conversant with the use of all kinds of weapons. Ram possesses unflinching determination, and is a genius with unfailing memory. Indeed, Ram's learning is without bounds. Lord Ram is wise, compassionate, and heroic in battle. Ram is loved by all creatures and is impartial towards friends and foes alike. Lord Ram is grave like an ocean. In fortitude, Ram is like the Himalayan mountains, and in strength, Ram is like Lord Vishnu. In beauty, Ram is like the moon. In forbearance, Ram is like the earth itself. And in anger, Ram is like that fire which blazes forth at the time of universal destruction. In wealth, Ram is like Kubera. And in devotion, Ram is like Dharma, the Lord of righteousness. Narada then briefly described to Valmiki the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, and he concluded by telling him that this same Lord Ram now rules over his subjects in a most righteous and exemplary manner. Narada explained that during the reign of Lord Ram, no one would suffer from any disease or mental disturbance. Everyone within Lord Ram's kingdom would be happy and prosperous, never fearing thieves, scarcity, or hunger. All the cities and villages would be filled with abundant grains, fruits, vegetables, and milk products. Indeed, the people would experience the same degree of piety and happiness that was exhibited during the Satya Yuga. There would be no natural disturbances like floods, earthquakes, or famine, and all the women would be chaste and never suffer widowhood. Lord Ramachandra would rule over the world in this way for 11,000 years before returning to his supreme abode in the spiritual sky known as Vaikuntha. And after satisfying the inquiry of Valmiki Muni, which was for the benefit of the three worlds, Narada again took up his travels, spreading the glories of the Supreme Lord. Sage Valmiki then journeyed to the banks of the river Tamasa, accompanied by his disciple Bharadwaja. At the river bank, Valmiki sat down to meditate upon the words of Sri Narada. Sitting within the forest, Valmiki happened to see a pair of cranes who were fully absorbed in sexual intercourse and singing in melodious jubilation. Just at that time, a malicious hunter of the Nishada race appeared from his hiding place, releasing an arrow which pierced the body of the male bird, causing it to fall, shrieking, to the ground. Then, upon seeing her mate writhing upon the ground, smeared with blood, the female bird cried out in terror, having been suddenly cast down from the heights of sensual pleasure to the depths of despair. And when Valmiki witnessed this tragic scene, feelings of great compassion welled up within his breast. Considering the Nishada's violent act to be extremely sinful, Valmiki became angry, cursing the hunter, "O killer of birds, as punishment for your heartless murder of an innocent creature engaged in gratifying his mate, may you never find peace of mind for endless years." However, no sooner was this curse uttered than Valmiki felt a pang of shame for becoming a victim of uncontrolled anger. Indeed, as an enlightened soul, Valmiki knew that all living beings are acting helplessly under the influence of material nature. Thus, Valmiki regretted retaliating against the hunter. But at the same time, Valmiki was astonished that the curse he uttered had come from his mouth in a wonderfully poetic meter. Indeed, his curse seemed to hint of the predominant emotional expression of the Ramayana, which Valmiki had been contemplating since his meeting with Sri Narada. And this caused Valmiki to remark to his disciple Bharadwaj, "From my sorrow came a verse of 4 lines, each containing 8 syllables. From shoka has come a shloka." In other words, out of lamentation has come a wonderful verse. For without compassion, there is no possibility of genuine poetic expression. And so thereafter, Valmiki bathed in the river Tamasa, returning to his ashram with Bharadwaj. And while continuing to meditate upon his curse of the hunter, Valmiki suddenly saw Lord Brahma descending from his abode, the topmost planet within the universe. Overwhelmed with wonder and jubilation, the speechless Valmiki stood up to receive this firstborn being of the universe. When Lord Brahma appeared before him, Valmiki offered his respectful obeisances, worshipping him with great awe and reverence. Then, Lord Brahma, the universal grandsire, who can understand the hearts of everyone, spoke, "O blessed sage, please do not grieve thinking that you have wrongly cursed the Nishada hunter. In truth, the words that you appeared to utter in anger were my very own. They were spoken through your mouth for the purpose of inspiring you to accomplish a great task. Indeed, the time has come for you to compose the history of the life of Lord Ramachandra, which is full of great and transcendental pastimes meant for the ultimate welfare of the entire world. My dear Valmiki, there is no cause for you to be anxious, for by the strength of my benediction, everything which is unknown to you will become clearly revealed within your heart. And thus, by my grace, your narration of the Ramayana will be faultless." After bestowing this benediction upon Valmiki, Lord Brahma departed for his abode upon his celestial swan carrier, filling all who beheld him with wonder. Valmiki then sat down in meditation to discover all the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra as indicated by Lord Brahma. Absorbed in a deep trance, Valmiki clearly envisioned within his heart all the events of Lord Ram's appearance. Valmiki then composed the Ramayana in 24,000 verses. After completing the epic poem, Valmiki wondered whom he could teach it to so that it would remain preserved in memory and propagated all over the world. While Valmiki was thus contemplating, his disciples, Love and Kush, who were dressed as rishis, came before him, touching his feet, as was their daily custom. Sita had given birth to these twin brothers while in exile, and they had remained under Valmiki's care ever since. Sita's forced exile had come about when a citizen of Ayodhya doubted her chastity after being touched by the ten-headed monster Ravana. Thus, Lord Ramachandra was forced to banish her. Their two sons, Lava and Kusha, were gifted with fine memories and musical abilities. And moreover, they were well versed in the Vedas. Physically, the twins were exact replicas of their father. And musically, they were as talented as the heavenly Gandharvas. Thus, as Valmiki gazed fondly upon the twins, he realized that they were fully qualified to receive the Ramayana. Thereafter, Valmiki proceeded to teach Lava and Kusha the entire Ramayana with great care. The twins committed the entire text to memory. Following Valmiki's instructions, they chanted Lord Ram's wonderful pastimes before great sages, learned brahmanas, and other pious men pure in heart. The learned brahmanas experienced great transcendental pleasure in reciting the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Thus, the brahmanas praised Lava and Kusha, rewarding them with many valuable gifts. And from that day, Lava and Kush began traveling all over the world, reciting the epic Ramayana. And in the course of their wanderings, they eventually came to Ayodhya. There, Lord Ramachandra saw the two boys wandering throughout the city, dressed in the garb of rishis. Upon hearing the wide acclaim of their expert recitation of Ram's transcendental pastimes, and the Lord took great pleasure inviting them to His palace in order to recite the Ramayana. And still, although they were His sons, the Lord did not recognize them. After respectfully receiving the twin sages, Lord Ram invited them into His royal assembly. The Lord observed that the boys, although dressed as ascetic brahmanas, had the features of kshatriyas. Speaking to His brothers, Bharata, Lakshman, and Shatrughna, Ram said, "O best of King Raghu's dynasty, please listen to this wonderful narration. Although these two singers appear like ascetics, they have the markings of great rulers. Now listen to their story, because it is full of literary beauty and has universal appeal." As Lava and Kush began the narration of the beautiful epic poem, Ram and his brothers soon forgot everything else, becoming fully absorbed in hearing Ramayana. It is a fact that the bonds of material existence can be completely cut off simply by chanting and hearing the glories of Lord Ramachandra. Thus ends Ramayana Balakanda Part 1.